Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show. Some show notes if you're looking for pro wrestling to attend the next couple days. Tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. SCW running Pablo Nidas in Bremerton, Washington. ACW in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. EWF in Azusa, California. NWA in Santa Maria, California. MPW in Kissimmee, Florida. SICW in Jeffersonville, Indiana. PWF in Hubert, North Carolina. MCW in Dunlap, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, ARW in Hobart, Indiana. Gouge Wrestling in Raleigh, North Carolina. BTW in Mocksville, North Carolina, featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love. XWA in Brooklyn, Ohio. ACW in Stevens, Pennsylvania. NWA Saw in Cookeville, Tennessee. SHW in Fort Valley, Georgia. Resistance Pro Wrestling in Lockport, Illinois. Pro Wrestling Beyond in Joliet, Illinois. ICW in Flushing, New York. PWK in South Bend, Indiana. NWA in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Pro Wrestling All-Stars in River Rogue, Michigan. ECCW in Vancouver, BC. And OSW in Odessa, Texas tomorrow night. QT, sounds like there should be a plethora of professional wrestling for the fans to attend in the next couple of days.
Yes, Sangay, and speaking about the plethoras of wrestling, you and I were both present last Sunday at Blue Collar Wrestling. And I got to tell you, Tony Stetson was in action, and he might have taken a little bit of an exception for your refereeing abilities to check before the match for foreign objects. Am I right or wrong?
He was not pleased with having to be checked, nor was he pleased with the final outcome of that match.
I hear that. A lot of power shifted this Sunday in Blue Collar Wrestling, and I myself had a chance to meet up with Paul Moonshine after all the action was over with, yes. And we were pretty cordial to each other, Paul Moonshine and I. It looks like the heat is slowly
coming
dying
up
down.
With your cage match, but I believe our guest is with us. Do we have Mr. Guest with us?
Yes. How's it going, guys?
Going very well. So, listeners, today we have New Wave Pro promoter Mikey Guest out of the great state of Indiana. He promotes down in the Terre Haute area. And, Mr. Guest, I'd like to welcome you to the show. With our first question, we ask everyone that is here for the first time, what got you into the pro wrestling industry?
I always a big fan, growing up watching it in the 90s. And we were blessed beyond belief when WWF at the time used to come to our ISU Holman Center. They were here at least once a month, so I kind of just was like, man, it would be awesome to do something like this. And then just throughout middle school and high school, you know, everyone wanted to be a football player and be an astronaut. And every time they asked me, I was like, man, I want to be a pro wrestler. I want to be in the professional wrestling business.
At that time, did you have any idea about what in the business you wanted to do, or have an idea of how to actually get into this business?
I think at that time, no. I just, you know, looking, watching it on TV and seeing these larger-than-life characters, I've always wanted to be a pro wrestler. I kind of knew a little bit about the schools and stuff, the training schools, but I never really took anything serious until back in early 2000 when I met a guy in town who actually had a ring.
You started out wrestling, if I recall correctly. Did you think that was going to be your ultimate path in this business, or did you always know that you eventually wanted to do more than in-ring wrestling and branch out into the different aspects?
You know, growing up, I've always, you know, every kid has a dream, and I've always wanted to be an in-ring competitor, and I've got to do that for about 10 years. I wrestled locally around the Terre Haute area and some Illinois spots, but I guess from being just from always kind of being a promoting aspect, because I used to promote bands too, I kind of I guess you could say once I got into it, I wanted more. So the more came with actually learning the aspects of promoting the business, booking, the backstage production, the storylines, and just putting together the show as a whole, instead of just having just the go out there, have my 7 minutes of fame, depending on what the promoter wanted, come back and be done. I guess I was always more of, man, what else could I do to better myself and to learn this business.
Did you have any particular role model when it comes to promotion or booking that you really studied before you actually started that part of the business yourself?
Role model? I actually, I got to spend some time down at the Coliseum in Evansville. So there was a guy down there at the time that was kind of, I really forget his name, but he kind of was doing the ins and outs of the booking and the promoting. So I just kind of, I didn't really overshadow him, but I kind of just paid attention of what he was doing at ringside before the event, backstage, stuff like that. And then just basically connecting with other companies and kind of seeing how they're run. What to do, what kind of is borderline of not to do, and things like that.
Oh, when you started New Wave Pro, at the very beginning, what was your goals for the company? And as New Wave has come along the last 2 years, do you think that you have met or exceeded those goals?
I think we're on the right track. When I started New Wave, I just wanted something new, actually, in our area. And at the time, there was really nothing that was taken seriously, I guess, with the wrestling around here. So I just kind of put down the pen and paper, and I was like, you know, I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to. So I... My main goal was to put on an event that would be nothing what you're used to seeing around here, I guess. But my main goal is basically what everyone's main goal is, to get people in the door. And with getting people in the door, that means you've got to book the right people. Usually what I go about booking is, you know, if I go more with the local guys, and just because I think the local guys around here have a more of a connection than bringing in someone from, say, Nashville or Ohio. But, yeah, I started off with a lot of local guys with New Wave. So my goal intention when I first begun was to get them exposure and get them experience in front of crowds. And a funny story is when we first started, we were in a small room. I purchased a 14 by 14 training ring and really had no intentions of doing live shows yet until we upgraded. But the guys were like, you know what, come on, let's try this. So we, just in a small where I used to actually book bands at, we set up and we promoted the first show in a building that was supposed to only hold 75 people. We drew about 200. So it was pretty much standing room. But I think coming into the third year on in New Wave, we've actually we relocated into a bigger building, and I just see us getting bigger, getting involved in our community as well, getting a good community standing, letting letting people know what we do and why we do it, and that it can be a family-friendly atmosphere. Here. So I think really that we've been hitting the goals that I've set forth in my head, nothing that's kind of written on paper.
Now, New Wave Pro, when you first started, how did you go about getting the crew that you wanted? What had you done as far as preparing and looking at and recruiting the talent, not only in the ring wrestlers, but the referees, the announcers, and so forth and so on?
I had the opportunity before I was actually, before I jump started New Wave, I was a part of a small company in Terre Haute that was on YouTube. They kind of refused it in the beginning to do any kind of live shows. The promoter at the time was fine with just taping stuff in their little barn and putting it on the internet, and he was fine. For some reason, a lot of people knew who I am from back in early 2000. I used to wrestle for a guy in town, and the guy that owned the company was a real shyster. And so that company went under, and there was about probably at least 10 years when wrestling really didn't thrive in Terre Haute. So I connected with these guys, and at first they were very hesitant of me because they knew my background of working with this guy, and they thought I was the guy. I went to one of their training sessions, and I'd probably been out of the ring for at least probably 4 years, and I went in and kind of just saw what they'd done, kind of bumped around a little bit, and then the time after I came back, they were like, hey, we want you to start working with our guys. So I was like, yeah, it's fine, you know, I'm good with that. And then after that, once I felt that some of the talent was, man, you know, good enough to get off their YouTube channel to get out in front of people, I went to the guy and said, hey, man, you guys should really take this somewhere other than videotaping it. So with me doing some live band stuff, I offered him a spot at a benefit event. And they, you know, they came out, they done their thing, it went really well. And then after the benefit event, I offered him my building to start shows in and all that stuff. And it was going good until the promoter became money hungry, and you know, he would come up to me at the end of the night and be like, who can I get away with paying, who don't I have to pay, and all that. And I mean, that's just bad business right there. You know, you get people that work hard behind the scenes, and you guys, you know, you get the guys that's working in the ring, you know, you definitely have to pay them something. So I kind of basically, when I started New Wave, I was spawning off of that and just being so upset with seeing how he ran things. It was just like, I've got to do something better for the guys around here. And I mean, some of the guys at first was like, you know, they were loyal to him, but once they saw what I was offering, I guess they wouldn't really have jumped ship. They were just ready to work for someone with a little bit of legitimacy in the area.
Now, as a promoter, I'm sure at some point or another, something's happened on your show that struck you as kind of embarrassing, kind of something that you wish hadn't taken place on your show. Every promoter goes through that because they're usually more critical than anyone else that's going to be there. What's some of the things that's happened that you saw and you thought, oh no, that's really embarrassing?
I don't want to name drop anyone. But I booked a guy from Ohio that had a pretty good past of being stiff with workers, and he actually drove another guy down, and I had no intent of using him. But at the last minute, the guy he brought down was, hey, you know what, you know, put him in there, just see how he goes. And basically, I mean, trying to do a family-friendly event, it was just F-bomb and him flipping off people and the guys he was working, he was being real stiff about. And it just, you know, it's just some stuff like that. That's the biggest incident that I actually ever had. And it was a doozy because, you know, I never heard of the guy before, but then once I researched him, it was known for what he did there to do everywhere that he goes.
Never a fun thing when you have F-bombs dropped on a family show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now, as you know, I'm sure, there's always a chance of injury whenever people get in the ring. Accidents happen. Injuries are just part of the business. As a promoter, what goes through your mind when it looks like someone's been hurt in the ring?
It's heartbreaking, man, because you know, the guys that are in the ring work so hard, especially my local guys. I keep referring to most of my local guys because we do run training weekly, but I do protocols with the refs and have keywords. And, you know, if someone does get seriously hurt, it's just kind of like, you know, what's next, or, you know, what's going to go on. But any indie show, people getting hurt, accidents do happen. I mean, it's a wrestling business. And like I tell most of the trainees that come in, I can't guarantee you that you're not going to get injured because accidents do happen, but we will do our best in teaching you how to keep yourself safe and to keep your opponent / partner safe in the ring with you.
What to date has been the scariest injury that you saw during one of the New Wave shows?
One of the New Wave shows, it would probably be about two years ago. We had a steel cage match with two wrestlers, and instead of the guy letting the ref drop the gimmick, he decided to go old school and tape it around his wrist. So when he went to go and tape it, he taped his wrist too tight, and when he went to pull it off, then it sliced his wrist, and he ended up with about 20 stitches. But that was an accident. But that's, I mean, injury-wise, that's probably the biggest thing we've saw as today.
Now, I noticed that at New Wave, you're bringing in more and more lady wrestling. What would you say is the state of lady wrestling in general in your area and to New Wave Pro in particular?
Yeah. With the not to reference anyone, but there kind of is a revolution going on with women and today's product. So the women around here, they're thin, meaning that there's not a lot of ladies in our area, but the ones that are in the area aren't just the ones that do look pretty and can come out to the ring and just, you know, flaunt off and then, you know, then go to the back. I think the lady wrestlers, the women wrestlers in Indiana are set forth to bring action into the ring, just like the guys do. I've booked, like, Cameron Starr. She's really big in the area. She's really, really good. Some others that I've worked with would be Sabrina out of she's out of the Southern Indiana area. I've been working with the great Cheyenne, which she's up towards Chicago. And then I just now started kind of a working relationship with Samantha Heights, and her home base is kind of the Rockstar Pro area. So over in Ohio. So I think women's wrestling in general today is blooming little by little. It's kind of taken steps from just the ladies coming out and kind of, you know, the cat fight to the ladies coming in and showing the guys, you know, hey, this is a women's sport also.
As a promoter, how do you feel that the fans are responding to the upswing of women's matches?
I think for New Wave, for our company, it's something fresh because they're used to seeing, you know, the males battle it out. But once we started bringing in the women, we saw an increase in some of the little girls that come to the shows, looking up to, you know, the women wrestlers. And then even with that, I think it's just amazing in Indiana what the women are doing right now. But I do think it helps because, I mean, ladies, women wrestling, it is a draw kind of anywhere that you put it on the bill.
You also were affiliated with Micro Championship Wrestling when they came through Terre Haute recently. What led to that partnership?
I was looking for something different. I always looking for just something different to bring in as wrestling wise. And I saw that they had some open dates. So, you know, I brought them in twice so far and it's been phenomenal. It's been a good time. But like I said, it's just something different that's not usually seen around here. And that's what I'm really big on, is kind of bringing in something that's kind of new, and that kind of goes with the New Wave name as well, something fresh.
Now, is the MCW show separate from New Wave, or do you incorporate a little bit of the New Wave matches onto the MCW show when they come in?
The first micro show we done, it was all them, and then we just had a match in the middle. And then the second time they came, we incorporated some of the guys with the midgets, so they can kind of get, you know, they interact, and some of the, because it's basically almost the same crowd that we get that comes in to see the midgets anyway. So it was good for some of our guys to get interaction, get in the ring with them, and just a little bit different stuff. But I think being both entities and being in one show definitely helped with the draw of the micro guys.
One of the trends I've noticed in the last several months is that independent companies are looking to streaming devices to get exposure. A lot of companies are using Roku, they're using Fizzy TV to stream their live shows. Some of them tape exclusively for those channels. What's your opinion on the streaming devices, and where do you see their importance being, say, a year from now?
I think it's really important because being a promoter, my thoughts are, how can I reach new people that's going to see our product? And not only do I want to reach people in my city, but what if we draw fans that want to watch a product that's in Michigan that can't drive 8 hours, or someone sees a match that's in Florida that's watching one of the live streams, the Roku, the Vizio TV. What if they get interested in the product? What can they do to help? And with a live stream, I think it's going to pick up. I think you'll see a lot more companies doing it because it's only going to help. And a reason why I think it's helping is because if you draw someone, say, from New York who can't physically be at your show, but they like your show and they're streaming on, say, Roku, they're like, oh, man, I really want a T-shirt. So they go in to your merch. You know, you're selling merch to someone in New York that can't come to your show but wants to support your company. So I think overall the live stream stuff is, I don't think it's going to hurt, but I think it's just going to make everyone thrive to get better in the independent scene. and to basically realize, man, I can have fans not only in my home city, not even in my home state, but in other states that might want merchandise, that might be, oh, man, I saw this on live stream. Is there any way I can order a DVD of it? You know, it'd just be another way to sell your product that you're putting in front of people.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he has some questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a while.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Michael.
Hello. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Not bad. Michael, my source and wrestling sources in Kelso, Washington, tell me that you have a big event coming up on the 26th of this month. Can you tell me about two competitors that may or may not be in the main event, Big T Thomas Moore and Shank the Freak Barzani?
Yes, it's Barzani. Shank's been a part of the company for the past 2 years, on and off, because he does a lot of the other independent bookings. But Big T's been with me ever since I started, and I mean, these guys have never collided before in our area and different companies. So I thought it would be good for them to kind of finally meet head-to-head. You know, you've got the cowboy, Thomas Moore, and then you've got Shank the Freak Barzini, which he is, I mean, you can never tell with him what he does. I mean, he's just outrageous. He's off the wall as soon as he walks out of that curtain, and I think it'll be a big clash for a good main event match, because like I said, they've never been in the ring before with each other, so it's kind of something we're promoting, you know, the first time ever. And a lot of our fans know who Big T is, and some of the fans kind of recognize who Shank is from past shows, but I think going in to the event, they're ready to see a fight.
Nice. See, have you yourself ever received a knife-edged chop from Shank?
Actually, yes, I have, and it's not it's not anything to joke about. I mean, those chops from Shank will leave bruises.
Ooh, uh-oh. I see. All right. Well, now, are there any truth to the rumors that Big T Thomas Moore wears a black cowboy hat?
Yes, he does. He actually does wear a black cowboy hat, and he takes pride in that cowboy hat, only because he's actually a former bull. He used to ride bulls, and this is, yeah, you know, and he's always had that hat. It's the same hat he used when he rode the bulls, and then he still has the same rope too, so It'll be definitely an interesting matchup, to say the least.
Wow, all right. It was one of your favorite scenes in the movie Stir Crazy, was it when Gene Wilder got on the bowl, the mechanical bowl?
maybe a little bit.
Has Thomas Moore ever talked about the mechanical bowl in Stir Crazy?
No, he hasn't, but he actually... We've done an ISU college event a year ago, and they had a mechanical bull at the event. So he actually, we put him to the test, and he can go.
Wow. All right. Have you, as a promoter, ever thought of a stipulation match where the loser has to ride a mechanical bull or a mechanical sheep?
Not actually, but I will tell you, in Big T's downtown block party match, once he won the match, his opponents had to come out as rodeo clowns at our last event, and only one of them out of the three of them did, and the other two got suspended by our commissioner, Bobby Rogers. So we did have rodeo. We had one rodeo clown out of the two. So.
Wow, okay. All right, now, speaking of rodeo clowns, has Shank the Freak Barzini ever tried to rip the red nose off a clown?
I would say yes. I wouldn't put it past him, only because I just seen Shank in the ring, and his just you know, he's a freak. No telling he might have bit the nose off a clown before. I have no clue.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, as a promoter, while you have yourself had been in the ring, maybe announcing matches or something, has a clown ever danced with you?
No, not a rodeo clown, but past note, I happened to be a clown a few years in a local haunted attraction.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Michael, can you recall the name of the person who had the ring in 2000 that you first stepped into?
His name was Charlie Knight.
Oh, okay. Charlie Knight. Okay. Is he still in your area, and do you keep in contact with him?
Actually, I do not keep in contact with him. There was a big falling out at the end of his company, so I'm kind of the only one that's kind of stood tall to do anything that's left over from the group.
All right. In that year 2000, can you recall who gave you your first bump in that ring?
A guy named by the name of Tolerant Zero. He just actually retired about a year ago, but he was trained by Bud Chaplin, and he had a part in training some of the younger guys in the New Wave, and then he had a part in doing some training, too, in the old company.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Michael, did you yourself ever suffer from any concussions while you were in the ring?
Yes, I took a double underhook pile driver on a steel chair, and the hinge of the chair went straight into the top of my head and split me open, and it gave me a concussion and about 8 staples in the top of my head.
Oh, ow, man, that's rough. 8 stitches, huh?
Yep, right on the top of my scalp. And then it was the funny story about that is we were actually taping for a TV commercial that night, so we kind of went a little off the charts back in 2000 and done the match, and then that morning we had to go to the TV station because they were cutting the commercial. So the guy that was there was like, "I don't even know how you're walking." And I was like, "Well, I'm a little concussed, and I had a bandana on because it was cold outside," and I still went with the guy at the time to get the commercial cut, and I was like, "No, it was real." But the guy slowed down the tape after I hit, and me coming off the mat, there's an actual thin stream of blood that you can see that's squirting out of my head when I'm going to the mat.
Holy smokes. And if I'm not mistaken, you were about 16 or 15 at the time.
I would have been, I think I was maybe 17, 18. I think it was at least 18, if I can remember back then. I'm 30 now, so it'd be early to be like 2002 maybe, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You would have still been in high school.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, okay. What happened when you showed up at high school with that bandage or do-rag?
Yeah, they were, a lot of the teachers were like, "Why are you wearing that?" And then I had to call in the office that morning and be like, "Hey, I'm going to have something covering my head because I have staples and it's got to keep clean and all that." And everyone was like, kind of looking at me weird. And then they figured out what was going on. So a lot of the other kids were like, "Man, what happened?" And I told them, they were like, "Oh man, I want to see a picture of it," instead of me just pulling off the do-rag. I'm like, "Hey, here's a picture of it." Cause time I pulled it off and had to stick it back on, there was still, you know, still seeping and stuff like that. So it was a good conversation piece, to say the least.
Did that in any way help you get a date to the prom?
No, it didn't. It almost got me an undate to the prom the current time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, all right. All right. Well, Michael, can you tell us about some of the bands you have promoted, what some of the names of the bands are?
I booked, there's a lot. Anything that's recent, like I booked Hawthorne Heights. They're they were pretty big back then, and now they're kind of blowing up. They're from Ohio. I've done the Ready Set, which was real big on Disney. A band called Set It Off. It's from the southern U.S. A lot of the heavy metal hardcore bands that you see that's listed on Warped Tour in the past 3 years, some of them I've brought through the area. Miss May I, trying to think. And then as well, it's a lot of local bands, too, that mixed in with that.
Okay, all right. Have you ever heard of the Razor Ramones?
Actually, yes, I have. I've listened to them, and then I saw them. I saw some YouTube stuff where they've actually done a few things with IWA Mid-South.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you aware that their drummer, his nickname is Blueberry Muffin, Rex Blueberry Muffin Muffin Sharp?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, okay. Now you know. Yes.
Yep.
Blueberry Muffin. Okay. All right. Well, now, as a promoter, have you read any self-help books by Donald Trump?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you read any self-help books by anyone out there? Anyone that has served as a mentor toward you?
Not really. I'm real big, which would be really weird being a promoter, but a lot of the wrestlers' autobiographies, like I'm getting ready to start Daniel Bryan, to just kind of it just kind of interests me of seeing where they came from and where they're at now. But self-help books, no. But a lot of stuff I do is I kind of keep an eye on the independents, the promoters, not just in our area, but kind of around the U.S., just to see what stuff they're doing. Just so saying, you know, someone, a stipulation to the match comes up and you need something unique. So you can say, hey, maybe I saw this in New York. It might work here. Just, you know, a little bit of just kind of brainstorming, not really stealing ideas, but keeping the ideas fresh.
Okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Well, Michael, what would you say was the number one class in high school that helped you most in this business?
Probably my audiovisual class, because it was a lot of the times they let me come in, and after shows, I bring in my footage. So I've learned a lot of stuff, like making highlight videos and stuff like that. I got to do back then, but for a grade. So I would say the audio visual class has really helped, because I do most of the videos and the photo editing too.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Okay. Well, Michael, at the advent of Facebook, or when you first became aware of Facebook's potential, did you realize the potential of using this tool for the promotion of New Wave Pro?
I did a little bit. When first Facebook came out, when I was younger, you couldn't get on it because Facebook, you know, you got to be in college, and it was only for college. But I think once they just open up to social media, and you got your, you know, you get your events out, you get your statuses, it's a lot easier to connect with people that you're interested in bringing in, to connect with them on Facebook. Even with doing the ads on Facebook, you can reach a lot of people now. I know a lot of people's turned off by the fact that, you know, you've got a target audience and spend some money, but I think it does just as well as going out and handing out, you know, 1,500 flyers when you could post a status and, you know, pay $20 to $30 and have it hit certain areas in your town, certain zip codes, certain age groups, stuff like that. So I think it's I didn't think it would be a good thing, but I guess overall, once you actually learn how to use it as a promotional tool, it's great.
All right. Okay. Well, Michael, how are the New Wave Pro Wrestling concessions? And do you offer nachos with cheese sauce, ground beef, and sour cream?
We are actually, we do nachos and cheese, but that's a good question because we've actually had a lot of people lately ask about different condiments for the concessions. So we're actually putting together a family-size platter of nachos and cheese that will include the cheese, the sour cream, and the ground beef as a family platter that would feed about 5 people.
Whoa, outstanding, outstanding. Yep. Or maybe 2 wrestlers, say like
yes.
Big T Thomas More and the Freak Barzini. They could probably polish off a whole platter.
yeah, probably.
Oh, all right. Well, Michael, can you tell us something about, I think you have an event coming up with Northside Recycling and free admission tickets.
Actually, yes. My father, a unique story about New Wave Pro, we actually operate in front of the building at the recycling center. So my father owns the recycling center. So I do a deal with him where if people bring in 50 pounds of cans, not only are they getting paid for we're paying them to buy the cans, they're actually receiving a free general admission bleacher seat to one of our shows.
Oh, you can't beat that.
Nope, not at all.
Oh, nice. All right, you're helping the environment and promoting wrestling at the same time. Very good.
Yep.
All right. Well, Michael, do you yourself have a wrestling background in high school? Did you go out for freestyle wrestling?
No. I actually, when everyone was doing the freestyle wrestling, I was trying to connect with people in the area who was doing the type of, you know, the professional independent wrestling style. And a lot of, you know, I don't put down that style because I think if I was young again and I knew that it could help, I would have done it. But at the time in high school, I was just mentally focused on getting in a wrestling ring one way or another.
Wow, fantastic. You're kind of like you're almost like Gene Simmons in that attribute. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, have any of the past students at your high school, maybe that you went to school with, maybe a little bit that graduated ahead of you or behind you, gone on to wrestle in the WWE?
No, not anyone that was in the high school class with me, but I do have mutual acquaintances that are in the E right now, and then I've booked some guys that are getting the tryouts and doing the house shows and stuff, but no one I actually went to high school with, except I think there was one other kid that kind of came up with me, which he is now not in the wrestling business. He's actually a local policeman. Yep, because he kind of told himself by 20, I think it was by 28 or 29, if he didn't make it by then he was just going to look for something stable around here, which, I mean, he's got 2 kids, he's got a family now, so it'd be a little bit hard on him to travel and everything else.
I see. Yes, traveling does take its toll, unless
yep.
you're single. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Michael, is it true that one of your favorite tag teams of all time was the Hurricane and Rosie with Molly Holly as superhero trainee?
Actually, I wouldn't say the tag team. I wasn't a big fan of the tag team, but there is a special place in my heart for the Hurricane, though. He was, I remember Shane Helms back in 3 Count in WCW and all that other stuff. So Shane Helms is a character, and I've got to talk to him on a few occasions. So he's a really good guy.
Oh, well, you've got to talk to him. I'm pretty envious. All right. Wow. Well, Michael, as you know, the Halloween is a time when a lot of wrestling organizations across the country like to hold events. What event will you be holding around Halloween time?
Well, we've got 2 events. The first event is going to be at the beginning of October, and we're calling it Trick or Treat. And the fans get to pick the stipulations in the matches. We'll have 5 matches that night, and it'll be a very interactive show, to say the least. And then Halloween, October 30th, I guess it's Halloween Eve if you count it, I guess, we are doing a Trunk or Treat event where we'll have cars out in our parking lot. Their trunks will be open and can come safely trick or treat at our arena. And on the inside, we're going to be having a silent auction for the adults. And we're looking to get a few good prizes, and all the proceeds is going to go towards the remodel of the front of the building, because we're still trying to get a solid AC unit in for the summer. And then we're still looking to get solid heat in for the winter. So our building's kind of a work in progress, but, and it's fun for the community too. And it gets people to come out to the arena and see our facility and come in. And then we're serving free hot dogs and popcorn and stuff like that.
Wow. Fantastic. All right. Very good. I thought trunk was kind of a fancy name for like a modified coffin. Are you going to have any coffin matches?
funny story about a coffin is when I was the past 2 years, I haven't done it, but I used to run a haunted attraction in town, and I got a crazy idea to actually call a funeral home and say, hey, you guys have any coffins you're not using? And at the time, I wasn't thinking that they would actually sell me one, but they were like, yeah, we actually do have one. If you want to take a look at it, it's used. And I'm like, used? And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm thinking they're just, you know, they're going to bring me there and show me this big expensive coffin and give me an outrageous price. I get there and they say, you know, this coffin's $300 and it's a wood grain coffin. But then they proceed to tell me, we just used it last week, and we used it in our showings before the bodies get cremated. So I did have a real coffin, but when I got out of the haunted house business to focus just on the wrestling, I let that go with it, which is, it's kind of heartbreaking because it was a real coffin. It was used. You can still smell the embalming fluid even if you put anything in it, to try to get the smell out, it wasn't coming out. But it's just a side funny story about a coffin.
Boy, that'd be a scary sight to see Cameron Starr come out of a coffin. Ooh!
Yes, it would.
Holy smokes, yes. All right, well, Michael, celebrity deaths in America often trump the mundane aspects of life. It depends on the celebrity. But when an A-lister dies, some people remember what they were doing, where they were, and what the reactions were. Now, can you tell, I'm going to lead in on how this relates to all-time wrestling deaths. But I've got a list of the top 20 deaths in America that made an impact on our lives and the psyche of America. Now, due to a poll, they said at number 20, the death that gripped America, ranked number 20, was a crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin. At number 19, it was John Bonham of Led Zeppelin. Although he was from England and he belonged to an English band, it still affected America. At number 18, Malcolm X came in. At number 17, Robin Williams. Can you take a guess who the 16th, 15th, and 14th ranked people were? Just take a guess.
I'm trying to think. I have no clue. I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Yeah, I blank.
All right, at number 16, it was Kurt Cobain. At number 15, it was Stevie Ray Vaughan. And at number 14, Pat Tillman, the Arizona football player that turned to Army Ranger. Okay. And at number 13, it was John Ritter.
All right, well, guys, we have just a few minutes left. So, Mr. Guest, I want to give you plenty of time if you'd like to say anything to the listeners today, if you want to plug and promote anything, your upcoming shows, your social medias, merchandising, anything whatsoever. Floor is all yours. Go ahead and plug and promote away. Say whatever you'd like.
All right. I just want to thank, on behalf of New Wave Pro, I want to thank you guys for letting me call in and talk to you guys today. But if people want to check us out, they could go to www.nwpwrestling.com. That's our official site. It's being updated. Pictures are getting on there, the roster page, and directions to the arena. We're very, very big on social media, so you can follow us on Twitter at @NewWave_Pro. We're really big on there. Our Instagram account just broke over 1,000 followers earlier this week, and you can look us up by looking up New Wave Pro. And, of course, on Facebook, facebook.com/ New Wave Pro. We're also on there. You can check us out on YouTube as well. It's youtube.com/NWPWrestling.com. Got a live event coming up Saturday, September 26th. At the New Wave Pro Arena, which is located at 1439 Ash Street in Terre Haute, Indiana. So if you want to come out, check out an event, send us a message on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter, tweet at us, and then just follow us where you can to see where we're going next.
All right. Well, Mr. Guest, I want to thank you so very much for taking time out of your Friday to talk to us. Best of luck to you and to all of New Wave Pro as you come up on your next event on the 26th, and hopefully we'll get to sit back and talk some more again in the future.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anytime.
All right, fans, get out there. Support your local independent wrestling if you're in the Western Indiana area. New Wave Pro running shows pretty much every month in Terre Haute. Great product. Check them out. And we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon, Ring Announcer Day. We got a bunch of ring announcers coming on to talk about that aspect of the business. Should be great. And we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.